From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas. Alaska's sole U.S. representative, Mary Peltola, visited Juneau over the weekend. It was part of a series of meet and greets she hosted across the state to kick off her re-election campaign. The Democrat sat down with KTOO's Clarice Larson to talk about some of her accomplishments and ongoing priorities in Congress.
One of the things I'm very proud of is the work that my office has done in really leading the charge to convince the FTC not to approve the mega merger between Albertsons and Kroger. This really will affect every Alaskan household. Even if you're in the bush, this will affect you. And that's an issue that really only the congressional delegation can push, because this is a federal issue. This is not something that assemblies or city councils or the legislature can work on. So there is a definite need for a voice in this. And my office has taken the lead. Of course, the senators agree, and we're working collaboratively, but I've had town hall meetings. We've invited the FTC commissioner to come to Alaska. We are working to get another teletown hall with the FTC so they can hear directly from Alaskans. That is something I'm very, very proud of. And of course, working on Willow. Willow is something that our leaders have been working on in Alaska for over a decade. And I am proud of the fact that I helped bring it across the finish line. I was the one who worked with the leadership in my caucus to really insist that Joe Biden meet with us. That was not a sure thing, and it was really a coup that we were able to get a meeting with him and John Podesta and two of his other staff. And the senators and I made very compelling cases, and I do feel like I singularly did push that forward. Another thing I'm really proud of is the executive order that came out a few weeks ago banning illegal Russian trawling where they're poaching our salmon and marketing them through China using slave labor, Uyghur labor, driving down our prices. And that will affect fishermen in Southeast tremendously. If we can get those fish prices back up where they need to be, we can keep fishing. We can have fishing families that can continue to fish and make a profit.
The Alaska House Judiciary Committee advanced a bill earlier this month that would repeal ranked choice voting in open primaries. There's also a group hoping to put the repeal question on the 2024 ballot. How has ranked choice voting shaped your campaigns, and what are your thoughts on these repeal attempts?
You know, a lot of people projected onto me that I was polite and didn't slam other people because of ranked choice voting. That is like muscle memory for me. The 10 years that I worked in the legislature, that was a real take-home lesson that I learned, that you need to have 59 best friends if you want to get anything done. And I really have that just built into my habits. So that was natural, and it worked well for ranked choice voting. And I think that Americans and Alaskans want more civility and more middle road candidates. It's really interesting to me to hear very, very conservative people blasting ranked choice voting, because with ranked choice voting, we also elected the most conservative governor in the United States, Mike Dunleavy. And you know, I do hope that that other states look at this and see the success that it has brought. And it is not a complicated system. It's very, very simple. And I'm very optimistic that ranked choice voting can help bring more middle-of-the-road candidates forward, who will put their names forward and work in a more collaborative way.
And so in Southeast and across Alaska, we're seeing an increasing number of disasters that could be made more common or severe by climate change. What role can you play in helping Alaskans better prepare for that future?
So FEMA needs a systemic overhaul. They were designed to accommodate 6 natural disasters a year. I believe last year we had about 28. So it's very, the size and scope of our natural disasters have compounded so much, and FEMA hasn't really kept up with that in terms of their systems. So that is something that long term needs to be addressed, and I'll be happy to work on. We have seen in Southeast Alaska 3 very concerning mudslides, one in Haines, one in Sitka, and one in Wrangell. I was able to go to Wrangell and see firsthand the impact of the slide, talk to one of the victims, an amazing woman who survived the slide. I was able to talk with folks from the municipality and people who were there rescuing that night. And one of the things that we need to be working on in Alaska is really partnering with universities to get things like soil stability samples, taking a much closer look at areas that are of concern. In Wrangell, the folks there on the ground said that there were multiple other sites that they would have guessed would have had a mudslide before the site that had it. So even for the folks who've lived there all their lives or have, families who've lived there their whole lives, it's really hard to tell where these mudslides might happen. And it's really important for, as Alaskans, for us to start getting a better ability to predict where these are and get out of harm's way before a disaster happens.
To a lot of Americans, Congress seems pretty dysfunctional, you know, with very little getting passed. And it seems like national politics are about as far as they could get from the kind of bipartisan models we've seen in Alaska politics. Do you have any hopes left for a more productive Congress or on thoughts on how that could come about?
I'm always hopeful, and I do believe that Alaska has so much to teach the rest of the nation in terms of working collaboratively and working across party lines and setting partisanship to the side to solve our problems. Nowhere else in America are you going to see a tripartisan House minority and a tripartisan House majority. And I think that that is so reflective of Alaska.
That was Alaska's U.S. Representative Mary Peltola speaking to KTOO's Clarice Larson. State Senator Forrest Dunbar introduced a bill this legislative session that would create a psychedelic medicine task force. Most psychedelics are illegal at the federal level, but research shows that they have therapeutic benefits. The task force would look at the role psychedelics could play in addressing Alaska's mental health crisis. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has more.
The bill would set up a year-long task force that would look at barriers to psychedelic access, insurance and licensing requirements, and pathways to regulating the medicines in Alaska. Dunbar, a Democrat from Anchorage, introduced the bill in the Senate. He anticipates that the federal government will legalize some psychedelic substances for medical use soon, starting with psilocybin. That's the main active ingredient in several types of so-called magic mushrooms.
We want Alaska to have a regulatory framework to potentially allow medical providers to use these substances, which have been shown in the early data of the tests to potentially have really positive impacts on people dealing with trauma and with addiction.
Experts say medications with psilocybin and another psychedelic drug called MDMA are likely to be approved by the Food and Drug Administration within the next couple of years. The drugs can dramatically alter mood, perception, and cognition, but generally aren't considered addictive. Psilocybin was banned in the U.S. in 1968 and MDMA in 1985. Oregon and Colorado have legalized psilocybin for medical use, and several cities in the U.S. have decriminalized psilocybin or made it a low priority for law enforcement. Studies show psilocybin is effective for treating addiction and depression in some people. And it also shows promise in helping people cope with a terminal diagnosis to process emotions around death. Dunbar says it's important to figure out regulations before psychedelic medicines become legal. That will help make sure people who can benefit from the therapies have access to them.
The hope is, because these are medical treatments, that we would find a way to bill insurance like anything else. And so I think that's a big part of it, is how do we make sure we can bill Medicaid and bill private insurance? And I know the indigenous community in particular needs to think about and will help guide the task force so that we can make sure we're getting funds into the traditional healers' hands as well.
The year-long task force in Alaska would include people representing healthcare needs of Alaska Natives, veterans, and survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. Dunbar says it's especially important the task force represents Alaska Native communities. He says some states have not included indigenous communities and traditional healers when crafting regulations and legislation for psychedelic medicine. Dunbar says psychedelic medicine could ultimately help a lot of Alaskans. He says they've shown promise treating some of the toughest mental health issues in the state, like trauma, addiction, and suicide.
It doesn't work for everyone, but there are certainly people who could access these substances and potentially have life-changing medical results.
There's no hearing planned yet for the psychedelic task force bill, but Dunbar says he hopes there will be one in early February. House Representative Jennifer Armstrong, a Democrat from Anchorage, introduced the corresponding House bill. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.